Let's jump in. It's December 26th, the morning, the day after Christmas. But I want to say it's a different Christmas today. Yesterday was more about that other Christmas. You know, the Christmas with the wrapping paper. Perhaps I'm describing what was my Christmas as I look at my family. The Christmas with the wrapping paper, or the bags and the tissue paper on top and the stockings, and dare I say the commotion and the noise and the headaches and the way too much food and the day that would never end and more gifts and yes, even a moment or two of tension. Or perhaps for you, it was the opposite of that, as Catherine prayed. Maybe it was a day of tremendous loneliness and quietness, and you long for the day of everything I just said, of all that commotion and all that noise, and give me a little tension, anything but this. So today, what I want to do, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, is to have a reset, to recapture Christmas, And to do that, I'm thinking about a reset. Now, this is how I do think about a reset. This here, what I'm going to show you, for those of you, if it doesn't fall off, and it might, it's trying. This is a modem. This is not a router. And if you don't know the difference, welcome aboard, neither do I. But this is a modem. And so in my days of total ignorance, as opposed to where I am now with great expertise on the internet, I would be doing something that I considered very important, about to buy something or do something, and suddenly I lost my internet connection. And I would call my poor son and ask him the same question, you know, that movie Groundhog Day, except he wasn't living the ground. I'd ask him the same questions as I had never asked him before. I've lost my internet connection. What do? I need to get on. And he'd say, Dad, unplug your modem. And I said, which one's the modem? Unplug the modem. This is what the modem looks like. You know, unplug it. There's been a blip, some kind of blip, and you've lost the internet connection. Unplug it, replug it, and just watch, all the little lights will come on and you're going to be reconnected again. He said, that's probably it. And 9 times out of 10, that was it. Well, that's what I'm praying to God. I pray to God that he would help us do a reset today. To unplug, I mean, there was a blip yesterday. It was good. It was fun. I'm not Scrooge. I'm not Grinch. He's Grinch. That guy down there, he's Grinch. But I'm not the Grinch. It was great yesterday, but yesterday was yesterday. Yesterday was not the incarnation. Yesterday was yesterday. And so I've personally lost connection. Unplug, replug. And look, let's get back in tune. Whoa, there it is. Real angels, in a real moment in time, with a real event, filling the sky, saying, glory to God in the highest. It really happened. So let's start off with 7 verses that I really want to focus today on the ultimate act of humility. The humility of Jesus Christ. The humility of God. The humility of God. Being born just like the rest of us, naked and helpless. Even have to slap us or do something to get us to breathe. But living a life unlike any of us. Never having sinned once. I know I prayed with my wife about 7:30 this morning. And I prayed, you know, I asked God forgiveness for my sins. Trying to come here as clean as possible before you, knowing that I'll never make it between 7:30 and 9 without doing something stupid up here or in here. But Jesus never had that. But Jesus himself being born as a baby, living a life that was sinless, and then As an adult, about 33 years old, being beaten and tortured and stripped of his clothing and literally nailed to a pair of wooden beams for us. While people that he came to save, part of the us, walked by and mocked them, adding to the pain and the humiliation. Talk about humility. So Christmas, resurrection, ascension, and how we should then live our magnificent journey today starts here in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Folks, there is no God like our God. There is no God but our God. There is no Savior like our Savior. There is no Savior but our Savior. There is no name like the name of Jesus. There is no name but the name of Jesus by which we can and will and must be saved. Saved from hell to heaven. Saved from darkness to light. Saved from evil to absolute goodness. Man, I want to be saved. I did get saved. Jesus emptied himself. The scriptures say, emptied himself of what? Boy, the theologians have a field day with that one. But we can all agree, he emptied himself of his glory, of his godly glory, his godly dignity. The dignity and glory that comes with being God. He emptied himself of that. And God the Son in Hebrews tells us, all right, so what is we say? Here I go. He emptied himself of his glory. What is the glory of God? All right, whoa, that's another one, huh? But we certainly know when we think of glory of God, it's this glory. Yeah, do you think these are bright? The light, we can't, our eyes cannot behold the glory of God. We cannot do it. Our bodies are not made to absorb the glory of God. We need new bodies to be in the presence of the glory of God. Whoa. So, who is Jesus? Hebrews tells us, the book of Hebrews tells us, that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. Now, what is radiance? Radiance is the bright in the light. That's what radiance is. So if you want to stare at a really bright light bulb and be stupid, like, you know, we've all done, the part that really hurts your eyes is that core, the bright in the light. Or you stare at the sun, get even more stupid. The brightest part of the sun that makes everything else so is the radiance. Now you realize, just take it in, Merry Christmas, folks. Taking in that Jesus Christ, God the Son of God, is the bright in the light of God's glory. That God emptied himself and took the form of a servant. The Son of God, God the Son, becomes the Son of Man. John Piper calls him the God-man, so to speak. His supernatural, natural form is God. He takes the form of a servant. Why? Why? Why do such a thing? Because if he didn't, you are doomed to hell. And I am doomed to hell. That's why. Because of his great love and his great mercy for us. That's why. Because his wisdom that this is the way, this is the only way And he's providing a way, the way, the only way, not to go to hell, but to go to heaven. And to be in his presence and his glory. And in order for you to handle, he's going to give you a new body. That's really good news for me. I don't know about for you. The Son of God, God the Son, becomes the Son of Man. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Pam, I know you're back there. At least I think you are. I can't see you, but I'm going to say, behold the Lamb of God, Pam, who takes away your sins. Behold the Lamb of God, Chris, who takes away your sins. Daniel, behold the Lamb of God who takes away your sins. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Now, what are the odds on someone being here or watching sometime, perhaps right now, perhaps at a future date? I don't even know what I'm trying to ask Blair. Where are the cameras? I want to look at the camera. What are the odds on someone who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, who doesn't rely, obey, trust, cling, ROTC? What are the odds on someone who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ being here right now? I have no idea. But I don't play the odds. I say to you, is there somebody here or somebody watching who has not given their life, who has not said, I rely, obey, trust, and cling. I believe in you, Jesus. I give my life to you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. I offer you, and I will be offering you eternal life this very day. I will be offering you eternal life. For John 3:16, this is real. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Today could be, if you are that person, every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ, every one of us who is not going to hell and is going to heaven, once was that person that you might be, that you are, if you are, right now. And every one of us had to make the decision, I choose Jesus Christ. I choose to believe in Jesus Christ over everything. I'm all in, so to speak, Jesus Christ. Today could be the most important day of your life, more important than the day you were born. Because today could be the day you experience being born again, not by a woman, not born by a woman, but born again by the Spirit of God. What an offer that's going to be. I'm going to give you that offer. So you hang on. I'll be back to that in a while. Be prepared. I also have another offer, which is part of that offer. I'm going to have three offers. This is still part one offer. Some of you, somebody, listening to me, watching me, may have done a very, 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 very foolish thing and have given your life to Christ, but then have walked away from Jesus Christ and got yourself in a whole heap of trouble. And you are lost. You are so lost, and you feel so dirty, and you feel so, things are impossible. And I'm telling you, they're not. I'm telling you, if you've walked away from Jesus Christ, this very day, I give you an opportunity in the name of Jesus Christ to pack up, prodigal son, pack up, prodigal daughter, come home. Come home to Jesus. Because Jesus' arms are open wide. He left the 99 to find the one. Come home today. Come home. Where am I? There I am. Thank you. The Son of God becomes the Lamb of God provided by God, leaving heaven, leaving his glory behind to be born into this world to take us out of this world. It's called the incarnation. God becomes man. We celebrate it on December 25th, or do we? Anyway, it's called the incarnation. It's called Christmas. So let's have an incarnation reset. And in order to do so, I want to switch over. I want to take us fast forward from the incarnation, from silent night, holy night. I'm fast forward to the Last Supper. Now, what in the world does the Last Supper have to do with Christmas? Everything. Let's go to John 13, verses 3 through 5. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Hello. This a Christmas verse? Yep. Let's just unpack this a little bit. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. First of all, Jesus knew. Jesus is, you know, he looks like me. He took bone like my bone, flesh like my flesh, looking like you, looking like me. He knew the Father had given all things into his hands. He knew. He knew that, as Colossians tells us, I love these. I'm not sure the word through is a preposition, but I'm declaring it a preposition for all you homeschool moms. You can tell me later if I'm right or not. But all things were created through him, by him, for him, and in him all things hold together. How about that for four prepositions? All things were created through Jesus. All things were created by Jesus. All things were created for Jesus. And in Jesus, all things hold together. That's my God. That's my Savior. And what does he do? He's on the floor. We'll talk about that. So Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and knowing that it had come from God and was going back to God, you know, he knew who he was. He knew where he was going. He knew where he came from. He knew. Talk about someone who was secure. He knew he came from heaven. He's going back to heaven. He knew he was the Son of God who became the Son of Man. He knew. So Jesus, being very conscious of who he was, where he came from, where he's going, what he's doing, why he's doing it, what does he do? He does like, it's got to be the strangest thing to those disciples. He gets up, takes off his jacket, and gets down on the floor. Now, if I'm a disciple, I'm looking, I got to talk to somebody. I got to say, what is he doing? What is he doing? He rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, taking a towel, tied it around his waist, poured it into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and wiped them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, why on earth is he doing that? Why would the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the world, the Word of God, the very God, of very God, take off his outer garment, get down on the floor, and wash his disciples' feet, the very disciples who within hours were going to flee and deny him? Never knew the guy. And he knew that. Why? Because this is who our God is. This is the same God that emptied himself. This is who he is. Yes, he is almighty. Yes, he is all powerful. Yes, he is all loving. Yes, he is all wonderful. He's all everything, but he is indescribably humble. He's indescribably gracious. He's indescribably merciful. He's indescribably God. Jesus Christ is the indescribable radiance of God's glory. This is the very nature of God. Jesus represents the very nature of God. That's why. God would get down on the floor and wash your feet. God did get down on the floor and wash their feet. So let's continue. John 13, verses 12 through 15. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, resumed his place, he said to him, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do what I have done to you. So what does this mean? So instead of having communion every 4 weeks, that we should also have a foot washing every 4 weeks on the second Sunday of the month? No. It means that we need to be humble. We need to be caring for others, not just ourselves. It means that how should we then live? If we live for God, we live for others, not just ourselves. We live for our neighbors. We live for our friends, our neighbors. We live for our enemies. But perhaps the hardest and most difficult part is we especially live for and love to be kind to fellow believers in Jesus. Now don't say, but you don't know. Don't tell me you don't know what they've done to me. You don't know what fellow believers have done to me. I could tell you my stories. You could tell. What have I done to other people? In the very same chapter of John 13, Jesus says this to the disciples, John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. And that's what I'm calling us to, part of what I'm calling us today. I'm calling myself today to have love, to forgive, to be merciful, to cut us some slack. Because Jesus doesn't just talk words, he does actions. I can't just say, you know, on the outside in the foyer or the narthex or whatever that's called out there, I can't say, love you. Oh, love you, brother. Love you, sister. Love you, too. It's so much more than that. It's so much deeper than that. Jesus is like I call it a double-A battery, double-A. You know, attitude and action. So it's an example of how we're supposed to live. Folks, it is very clear to anybody who knows me, even those who don't know me, just right now, it's very clear I did not come from God. But what's very clear to me is I'm going to God. It's very clear that I did not have any glory, and I'm not going back to glory, but I'm going to glory. God is going to share glory with me. God is going to share glory with me, and he's going to share glory with you. I know who I am. Despite what I appear to be, and however I appear to be to you, I appear to be different to every one of you. Some of you like me, some of you don't like me. Some of you I'm rubbing the wrong way. Some of you say, hey, that guy's not bad. I know who I am. I am a child of God. That is who I am. I know where I'm going. I know the truth. I have eternal life. I know Jesus Christ, and I know that Jesus and Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. I know the truth, and the truth has set me free, free from the consequences of sin and free from the power of sin, that I know. So do we see a pattern here in Philippians 2 and John 13? We do, that Jesus has a habit of being humble before God and man. Is that my habit? God born as a human baby. God dying a horrific death as a human man. He chose that. He wasn't condemned to that. He chose that. And it's God itself who tells us, look what I'm doing here. Look what I'm doing here. Look, I'm washing your feet. Do you see what I'm doing here? Now understand, this is an example of what you should do and what your attitude should be. Let's go to Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Let's go back there. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy, Paul says, by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look out not for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So, you know, let's just take a quick look at these words. I mean, quick look. The words that we just take for granted. I love looking at words. I'm a semantics kind of guy. Love looking at words. And so if there's any encouragement in Christ, you know, encouragement and comfort. Any encouragement in Christ and any comfort in love. Two different words, two different meanings. Sometimes you say, oh, you know, let me encourage you, and you pat my hand. That doesn't encourage me. You know what encourages me? When you say to me, Ed, I know things are bad. I see what you're going through. Man, whew. But listen, have hope. Take courage. Be encouraged. Live your life in courage. Do not be so afraid, Ed. Do not be trembling, Ed. Do not be dismayed, Ed. Do not be so worried, Ed. Do not be so focused, Ed. Do not be so myopic, Ed. Ed, get a life. Be encouraged. Do you know who you are? You just told me you are a child of God. Live like it. Live in courage, not in fear. If there's any comfort from love, you know, what is comfort? It's the dictionary says the easing of a person's feeling of distress. I don't know what that means. I know when someone comforts me, I know how I get comforted. It's when someone, if someone comes alongside and actually cares and does their best to understand. Now you can pat my hand. You know, to me, when I think about comfort, I think about my mother. When I was a little boy, of course, I've grown up, and we know that men are tough when we're sick. I mean, everybody knows that. But having said that, when I was a little boy and I got a fever, I kind of freaked out. I'm a little boy. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. I could tell you I was 18, but I'll say I was 3, 4. And I started crying because I felt badly. I felt very badly. And I had a fever, and things weren't right. And I looked at my hand, and my hand looked like it was too big. And I started getting scared, and I'd yell, Mommy, Mommy, my hand is so big. Mommy. And she'd come, and this is real. I don't know, you know, back in my day when you had a fever, my mommy would take a cold, what we called in New York City rag, but I suppose it's a washcloth, a cold washcloth, and just keep rinsing it and putting it on my forehead, and kind of make me feel a little better with the fever, and she would pat my hand, and she'd say, honey, I'm right here. Everything's going to be what? Okay, all right. And it was such a comfort to me because I didn't want mommy to leave the room. Come back, mommy, where are you going? I'll be right back, honey, I'm just getting some more water. But you know, my mother could only guarantee everything's going to be all right to the extent of her power to make everything all right. My mother would tell me everything's going to be all right, but she couldn't guarantee everything's going to be all right, only to the extent of her power to guarantee it. God, the God of all comfort, when he says everything's going to be all right, everything is going to be okay, all right, just fine. Don't worry about it. I got this. And I know what you're going through, and I know it hurts, and I know it's horrific. By the way, I went through that too for you. But I guarantee you that what you're going through right now is being worked by me for your good. I guarantee it. Because you're mine and you believe in me. Any participation in the Spirit. What does participation mean? It means being a part. Participation. Really easy. Participation. And so right now we are participating together. We participated when we sang together. We participated when we listened to your prayer, agreed with your prayer, and amened your prayer. You're participating right now as we read the scriptures and we seek the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, what does this mean to me? What do you want of me, Lord? Me. We put all disunity aside. I mean, we are very disunified in things that don't matter forever. But we are extremely unified in the only things that matter forever. So, I mean, come on. I mean, I don't want to give you the laundry list of things we don't agree with. I mean, come on. But all I got to do is say politics. I mean, that covers a lot. How about this one? Mandates. Masks. Jabs. Or vaccines. Boy, what a difference in how I say that, huh? We're not unified. We don't have the same opinions. We're all trying to take care of our bodies, our temples of the Holy Spirit. We have different opinions on how to do that. And sometimes we get mad, and but we put all that aside. Because that's not what binds us. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat or independent or a libertarian. I'm a child of God. I put all that aside, and I participate with y'all in worshiping God. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. All right, the camera can see this. I don't know if you can see this. Somebody who's close by. All right, Angie, what am I holding? You should know of all people. The directory. Now, that's beautiful. I'm holding the directory. What directory? The telephone directory? All right, I'll leave you alone. You're welcome. Am I holding the church directory? Uh-uh. No, sir. Am I holding the pictorial directory? No, ma'am. It says it right here. I'm holding the family directory. And that's a huge word. We are family. And I'm not talking about, for Chris's sake, sliding the family stone. We are family. We're children of God. Not only do I know who I am and where I'm going, I know who you are. And I know where you're going. I'm stuck with you forever. And you're stuck with me forever. And we're not going to feel like we're stuck. Isn't that something? We're not going to feel like we're stuck. You know why? I love this. I saw a movie once. I don't see a lot of movies, but I see a movie once in a while. One of the movies I saw was called The Same Kind of Different as Me. And I love the title. I actually like the movie, too. But you know who I know what you are? You are the same kind of different as me. You are as different from the world as I am. You know why? Because Jesus called your name. He calls you by name and you responded. Same kind of different as me. Got to go quickly now. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. So how do we live our lives? How do we march through life together? Therefore, Paul writes, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. So how should we then live? How do we walk through life? How do we march through life together? Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, in apparently a galaxy far, far away, I was in the Army as a 19-year-old. Now, some of you kids, you can't even imagine, like, how old is this guy? And he was 19. How long ago was that? You need a calculator. I'll help you out. A galaxy, a long time ago, I was in the Army. And as a 19-year-old, I just turned 19, and went to basic training. And in basic training, they have to teach you, they have to break you down, they teach you the basics and teach you how to walk. But in the Army, they called it marching. And to teach you, so you get off the bus, you go in the barracks, they give you a bag of stuff, you throw it in, they say, everybody outside, yeah, you're outside. And you go out there, and they say, all right, now line up. What does that mean? All right, everybody, just line up. All right. Now, when I say march, you march. Forward, march. And everybody just starts, like, bumping into each other, and just it's just crazy. It's like a bunch of idiots. Eventually, after 8 weeks of superb basic training, I can still hear that drill sergeant. I can still hear it. It's a long time ago. Forward, march. Your left, your left, right, left. Your left, your right, now pick up the step. Your left, your right, your left. Oh, that was my right. Anyway, it was very important because everybody had to be marching together. And if you messed up and suddenly you're putting your right foot down when your left foot's supposed to be down, you do a little stutter step and you get right back in. It basically, the stutter step, that's basically a reset. And you're walking right again. And if you're supposed to look down the line and you're supposed to call dress right, and basically when I look down the line spiritually, I'm looking down at Jesus Christ. And whether you're walking right or not, I'm looking all the way down the line. And how is Jesus walking? Folks, I utterly love Jesus Christ. I utterly love Jesus Christ. I'm astonished and amazed. I once was hell-bent and hell-bound, and now I'm heaven-bent, and I'm heaven-bound. I love Jesus. So I've got three offers today. Three. Somebody wants to... I pray... Now, I'm going to actually ask you at the end of this service, that's why Chris just got the cue, if God is speaking to you about one of these offers, stand up in the pew, or stand up, if you can't stand up, raise your hand a little bit. If God is speaking to you about any of these offers, it's not just a matter of attitude, it's a matter of action. If you want to commit or recommit something to God, you remember standing up or raising your hand. So here are the offers. Offer number one, which has two parts to it, eternal life. I offer eternal life to anyone who has not bowed the knee and said, I believe in Jesus. I offer you eternal life in the name of God, in the name of him who emptied himself of his glory, the radiance of God's glory. And the second part of that is, if you've wandered away and you have been of Christ, you have been of Jesus, but you left Jesus, I come to you in the name of Jesus, the one who would leave the 99 and seek out the one. And I say to you, come home. Come home to Jesus. I love an old Don Francisco song from the 1970s. Yes, Virginia, there was a 1970s. It says this, I don't care where you've been sleeping. I don't care who's made your bed. I already gave my life. This is Jesus talking. I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin that you can imagine that is stronger than my love. And it's all yours if you come home to me. That's what I offer. That's offer number one. Offer number two. Something like this. Jesus, I am yours, but I've been yours. But I've lost my way somewhere. And you, the somewhere is, you know where that is. I don't know where that is. But I've lost my way. And I've really started judging the people you love. And I don't love them. I don't love one another. And I've got specific people in my mind right now that is one thing I don't like them. I don't even love them. And Lord, I want to repent of that. And I want to do a reset. I want to do a stutter step. And I want to walk right. And Lord God, please, forgive me and help me. And the third offer is whatever God's speaking to you. The Holy Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know what the Holy Spirit of God. I could be talking about this and the Holy Spirit of God is talking to you about that. If God is talking to you, the Holy Spirit is moving your heart. I'm going to read some scriptures. And three sets of scriptures. When I finish reading John 13, 34, 35, I'm going to call upon you if there's anybody. And if you're at home, you can still do this. You can still do this. Get out of the chair. Raise your hand. Do something if the Holy Spirit of God is talking to you right now. So, let me read these scriptures. When I'm finished, I'll give you an opportunity to stand before God and do your business with God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Ephesians 4:1-6, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And then lastly, a new commandment I give you, Jesus said, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Let's bow our heads in a holy moment. And if the Lord is speaking to you, as Chris plays some music, sets a little tone, a little mood, if God is speaking to you, stand up, remain standing, or raise your hand until I finish praying. You still have the opportunity to do business with God. Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, these people have spoken to you and you've spoken to them. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, help them especially. Give them what they're asking for, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Only a holy God. with us and let's sing this together. Come and behold me, though I'm at the only cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the holy God. One more time. Come. Today we have heard your voice, we have heard your word, and we declare that we are yours. For those this morning who have tasted your presence for the first time, Father, we welcome them to the family. We welcome them as yours, and Father, as those that we get to walk with into eternity. Father, we pray that those who are renewed once again by your mercies that are new every morning, Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to walk into that, to declare that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Would you teach us how to walk into that this day? We praise you, O God. Amen.